When it comes to the Tour de France, thoughts would usually turn to cycling. However, for Celtic in 1921, it had a different meaning. In that era, games on the continent were far less common than now. But in that year, a Celtic trip to France involved not just football, but significant commemoration of the First World War. This is the story of the Celts' own 1921 Tour de France. The 1920-21 season had brought mixed experiences for Glasgow's green and white team. In national competitions, they had little success, finishing as league runners-up and exiting the Scottish Cup at the fourth round. However, the two Glasgow trophies had brought much more joy. In October 1920, the boys won the Glasgow Cup with victory over Clyde. Then May 1921 included a 2-0 defeat of Rangers to claim the Glasgow Charity Cup. This latter match put Celtic in a good mood as they soon headed for France for a three-match tour. It was to be a poignant journey. Less than 3 years beforehand, the world had still been enduring the devastating effects of World War I. This had been a conflict which affected everyone, including those connected with Celtic. Various players fought and even died in the fighting, something which was also true for many of the club's supporters. Earlier in 1921, Willie Maley had visited France, where he had toured various military cemeteries. Following this, plans were announced for the Hoops to also make the journey, going to Gay Paris on the Continent, as the Daily Record described it. For one part of this excursion, the boys were joined by Newcastle United and two French sides in a four-team tournament. One Scottish newspaper described the plans by stating that the two French teams will play the two English teams, and they included Celtic in this description. On Friday 20th of May, the Celtic party, that numbered 30 in total, departed Glasgow. But France was not their first destination. Instead, the Celts stayed in London before the next day travelling to Dover to catch a cross-channel ferry. Given modern stereotypes about British people's inability to speak foreign languages, it's not clear if the boys fared any better in this regard. Albeit that it was written tongue-in-cheek, one reporter claimed that some players have, quote, quite a supply of workable phrases. Monsieur Gallagher and C'est bon garçon can say inky pinky, idiumpty, and buckshee burgoo quite like a Frenchman. Celtic played the opening match of the tour on the Sunday. The Hoops faced the Lions of Flanders, a select team made up of players from sides in the north of France. The fixture was to be held at Jean Dubreuil Park, home to Racing Club de Roubaix. Before this took place, there was time to commemorate the war, a theme that would dominate much of the journey. Officials took part in a wreath-laying ceremony to commemorate 84 members of the host club who were killed in the conflict. This included a speech by the Hoops chairman, Tom White. Celtic's French expedition had aroused great interest, especially as professional football in France was well behind that in Britain. One Parisian journalist remarked that Celtic were the best team in the world, and on a day of superb weather, up to 10,000 spectators came to find out for themselves if this was true. Any hopes that the French had of victory were soon dashed. Celtic completely overshadowed their hosts to claim a comfortable 5-0 win. Goals came from a Patsy Gallagher double, another two from Tommy McAnally and David Pratt. The latter player knew France well, having served there during the war, where he was awarded the military medal. One French newspaper wrote that the Lions had been tamed and were hugely impressed by Celtic. They also expressed hopes that one day their teams could match the levels shown by the Scots. Back in Scotland, the Catholic Observer newspaper echoed this, saying that, quote, the soccer code will soon be as popular as the rugger among our Gaelic neighbours. After the boys' opening success, the theme of memorial and commemoration again came to the fore. Motor cars were commandeered to take the team on visits to various battlefields and war graves in France and Belgium. This included Ypres, the Somme and Arras, the latter site featuring the grave of Peter Johnson, a popular Celtic player who died in 1917. Some of the pilgrimages were even more personal. James Kelly, Celtic's first captain and later chairman, was amongst the party. He went to his son's grave. Frank Kelly, who had also turned out for the boys, had served in France and died in a train accident after the war ended. Willie Maley's thoughts would have surely been with his nephew. Josie Maley was son of Willie's brother Tom, himself another famous Celt. In 1915, when aged only 22, Josie died due to shrapnel injuries and was buried in France. It was said that Tom had been so angered by this he tried to himself enlist, but was told he was too old. Outside of the graveyards, there were further reminders of the war. Willie Maley's tour diary was published in the Sunday Post, and he described seeing entire towns flattened by the fighting. He also referred to more light-hearted moments too, including some of the players taking time out to climb Mont Kemel. By Tuesday, it was time to move on to the next stage of the trip. The Celtic party boarded a train for Paris, arriving by early afternoon. The next few days involved some light training, but was very much a time of leisure for the team. They began by going to watch horse racing just outside France's capital city. Many of the players, regulars at such events back in Scotland, were surprised to discover that betting was not allowed at French racecourses, and instead had to be done away from the venue. They obviously still enjoyed it though, because later in the week they were watching more racing, this time at the famous Longchamps ground. Some players went home with more money in their pocket than they'd actually brought with them. Following these racing excursions, and some general sightseeing, it was time for Celtic to get back into footballing action. They would play twice in 2 days, facing French and English opposition. First up was not one but two different clubs. Racing Club and Club Athletic were both Parisian teams. A select side comprising the best players from each was chosen to host the boys, with the match being held at the Stade de Colombes, close to the famous River Seine. On Saturday 28th of May, the men in green and white once more strode out onto the French pitch to receive the claim of around 6,000 supporters. A good crowd for the era. This was the second match of the day, with Newcastle having earlier beat Gallia 4-1. Once again, the travelling Scots proved to be far too strong for their hosts. It was an entirely one-sided fixture, as the team in green and white hoops had a massive 6-0 victory. Manager Willie Maley praised the Frenchmen, but also his own side, by saying, "The Frenchmen were very nimble and clever, but our lads were simply irresistible." In fact, Celtic might have scored more than six. Maley later bemoaned the standard of officials, suggesting they didn't fully comprehend the game's rules. He wrote that, "In refereeing, the continental weakness is as obvious as ever. The offside rule is not understood." This was a complaint made regularly by the Celtic boss during previous European tours. The following day, and at the same venue, the players were again called into action. This time their opponents were not a French 11, but instead Newcastle United. The North English club had also engaged in a continental tour, which included fixtures against Barcelona and Real Sociedad. For the third time in their own very successful European tour, the Celts again emerged victorious. A first-half double from Tommy McAnally gave them a strong advantage, and another from wing-half John McFarlane ensured a big win. However, despite these games being marketed as a tournament, there's no record of Celtic getting a trophy. Scottish sport fans were delighted that the boys had so comprehensively beaten their English rivals, although reports could not agree on whether it had ended 3-0 or 3-1. The Glasgow Observer wrote that Celtic gave an exhibition of scientific football with Newcastle United as opponents, and they walloped the Tyneside Geordies. France's journalists were equally enthralled by Celtic's performances. One British report said, "The Paris sporting press went into ecstasies over the boys' displays." In particular, Patsy Gallagher's displays were lauded. Willie Maley described Celtic's Irish attacker as the hero of the Paris visit. Perhaps Patsy's positive mood was inspired by the financial boost he had received at the start of the month. In early May, Burnley had travelled to Glasgow's East End to play a benefit match for Celtic's mighty Atom. The English side claimed a 2-1 win, and Patsy took a large sum courtesy of the 12,000 fans who turned out. The morning after the Newcastle match, on 30th of May, it was time for the group to return to Britain. The Celts were sad to leave behind the exceedingly kind friends who implored us to promise to come back again. However, travelling back across the English Channel would not have led to Celtic enthusiasm for a return to France. Willie Maley said the weather was bad and the seas very rough, and as a consequence, quote, all of us were sick. Clearly, this malady was not too long-lasting. On reaching English shores, Celtic's excursion and relaxation continued. As well as again staying in London, they continued the racing theme with a day out at the Epsom Derby. Tommy McAnally was the happiest boy. He had money on Humorist, who was the winning horse. But despite the enjoyment gained from the trip, this was not the only evident theme. The boys had also taken time to commemorate and understand the tragedies of war, including some Celtic-specific issues. The world was now seeking to heal during peacetime, though sadly less than two decades later would find itself again torn apart. By Thursday, the Celtic party finally completed their full return journey, making their way back to Glasgow via train. The entire holiday had played a significant role in helping bond the squad. As one scribe noted it, bond camaraderie was always in evidence. As clear evidence of this success, the squad that returned to Glasgow would go on to enjoy greater success. By the end of the following season, the Celts were again champions, beating Rangers to the title by a single final day point. As such, it can be said that the Hoops' 1921 French visit was very much a bon voyage. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter X and Blue Sky. You can also take part in free Celtic History walking tours. Visit celticwalkingtours.wordpress.com for more information.